John chapter 19. Verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross upon the Sabbath, for the day of that Sabbath was an high day, asked of Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and brake the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. And he that hath seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye also may believe. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Who can tell me what scripture John is talking about? You might guess Exodus 12. The same thing is said in Numbers chapter 9. And so which is it? It says that the scripture might be fulfilled. Well, since I've been speaking on the Psalms, perhaps it would be in a psalm. Turn to Psalm 34. There is an embarrassment of references here, and we'll talk about them in a little bit. But Psalm 34, and let's read a few verses from it. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 17, the righteous cried, and the Lord heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we marvel that you who spoke of the way that man was formed in the womb dost take the parts of those bodies and bring them to our minds throughout the Bible. We are thankful that thou hast shown us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you have taken pride in your creation. Have we not just heard about our bodies? Thou hast told us that they are not temporary things, but the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord Jesus Christ and shall raise up us. And therefore we rejoice in this body that thou didst give us. We have read of the body of thy Son. Thou dost know that that body was nailed upon the cross, who his own self bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. Thou hast told us this, that body that thou didst prepare for him. In it he bore our sins. And we would consider some thoughts of that body from both the New and the Old Testament. So, Speak to our hearts, we pray, as we commit all into thy hands, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I told you for 4 weeks about Messianic Psalms and particular types of Messianic Psalms in which the Lord is seen upon the cross. And the ones I gave you for the first 4 weeks were without contradiction because I told you the places in the New Testament that were referred to these Psalms, such as Psalm 16 and 22 and 69 and 102, I told you all the places that they were found in the New Testament. But what you do is this. When God introduces you to an area of treasure, you rejoice in the treasure he has shown you, but then you look for additional treasure. Let me tell you what happened just a few days ago. I'm finding money all the time. When I go running, I run at the track, and evidently there's so much money on the young people today, they lose it. And so as I go along, I look down and see a piece of money. And let me tell you what happened just a few days ago. I was going along, and I looked down, and here was a coin, and I picked it up, and then I went back to the location, and I saw another coin, and since I found two, the logical thing is to look for more. And so I looked in that little area, and I found in all 7 coins, and they became more valuable as I found them. Now, some of us would say, look, I found some money, and put it in our pocket, and go on our ways. But one such as I would say, I wonder if there's any more money down there that is to be found. And some of you, if God gave you a treasure, like a Messianic Psalm where you see the Savior on the cross, you say, thank you, Lord, for this revelation of your Son. But I have told you the way God does things. He will show us some things, and from the things that he has shown us, he expects us to look more deeply into the same area for more hidden treasures. And for that reason, having himself said, now, these are Messianic Psalms depicting my Son upon the cross. Well, he's told you that. Anybody could find those. But having seen the pattern, then you look for more. And since I found that one of the Psalms that had Christ upon the cross was something that he said when he cried and asked his God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it should register, then I am to look for Psalms that contain words that Christ spoke when he was on the cross. And that's what I told you about last week. Even though the Lord does not point it out, I am taking it from this Psalm 22, where he does point it out, that Christ cried and asked his God, why hast thou forsaken me? Upon the same cross he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that is what he said almost identically in Psalm 31. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. In like manner, John in chapter 19 has told us that here is another scripture that tells us not a bone of him shall be broken. And so I look up every occurrence to the word bone and bones in the Old and the New Testament. And as was said, I find in the original Passover in chapter 12, the regulations concerning how they were to eat the Passover has a scripture that says, you are not to break a bone, not a bone of it shall be broken. And then in Numbers 9, where a variation of the Passover in the second month is to be held, again, that same injunction is set down. When you eat the Passover, not a bone shall be broken. But having seen it in a lamb, I want to look in the psalm, because you have Christ not only in the animals and in the tabernacle, but you have him in the psalms, because it says in Luke chapter 24, all the things written about Christ in the law and the psalms and the prophets. And having found references in the law, because the law can either be Exodus 20 or it can be Genesis through Deuteronomy or the whole Old Testament. But when it says the law and the Psalms and the prophets, then it's in a threefold division. Having seen that it's in the law, then I'm going to also look in the Psalms, because God does this so many times. If something is of great importance, he will not insert it in his word once, but he will insert it in his word once in one part, and then the same thing in another part of his word again the second time. And when it says that the scripture might be fulfilled, if he had said Exodus 12, then the matter would have been settled, and I would not have had to search out all the references to bones and the word bone in the Bible. But he did not say it. He said that the scripture might be fulfilled, and therefore a man has to think, which scripture? And so since John did not tell me, I am not sure which scripture. And so it may very well have been this, that he had in mind all of these scriptures, because both of them are Christ. Now, he may have been talking about Exodus and Numbers, because twice in his gospel, in chapter 1, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And here is the Passover Lamb in Exodus 12, or the suffering Lamb in Isaiah 53, and so it could easily be that. However, when I read you this psalm, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." This is what John himself says. "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." And also in the book of Acts, the apostle Peter speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the holy and the righteous one. And so whenever you find any righteous man in the Old Testament, ideally he is a picture of Christ. There is only one absolutely righteous one, that is Christ. But you look at somebody who is righteous, comparatively so, and you say, "That man reminds me of Christ." And so if the promise is made concerning an Old Testament righteous man, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all," how much more is this promise concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, God's holy and righteous one, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then it says concerning this righteous one, "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." And if you look at it, you're liable to say, then this is figurative in Psalm 34. That's true. Because when David speaks in Psalm 51 that the bones which thou hast broken, you never read that David had literal broken bones. But it's a way, a figure of speech, speaking about the way that God has crushed him, has dealt severely with him. But in this case, you find out that it's not figurative when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is literal. Because God tests us by subjecting us to pain and suffering and experiences that we are not able to comprehend. And when one is going through these experiences, you're liable to wonder if I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. If he is Lord of heaven and earth, why are these things happening to me? Why is he not controlling them? And when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that sinful men lay their hands upon him, and they smash him in the mouth, and they hit him on the head with a reed, and then they lash his back with a scourge, and then they nail him to the cross, you say, certainly God has abandoned him. God could not know what's going on in the life of his son. But what God does to preserve the faith of the others is this. God is looking and he says to them, "Try to break one bone in his body." And these Roman soldiers are smashing him. And they are scourging him and driving nails in his hands and in his feet and a spear in his side. And they were unable, with all of their efforts, to break one bone in his body. Now, God puts this here for because it speaks about the fall of a sparrow. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And he puts both of these extremes. Why, God could not know what's going on in the life of his son. But he does. And it seems as if we abandon into the hands of men and they may do anything they want to. The same way that Job thought that anything was being done to him. When Satan laid his hands upon Job, he did not know it. But God had already given instructions to Satan, do not touch him. And then when he did touch him, God said, preserve his life. Now grasp this. Here is a man and all his children are taken. You say, well, God could not be on the throne. God has already said what could not be done when his 10 children are taken. And then Satan says, I, flesh for flesh, everything will a man give or to save his flesh. And God says, preserve his life. And then Job is made a living corpse. But Satan is under control and he could only go so far. Do you understand? You would think that Job had been abandoned and that there was no God in heaven, that nature was taking its course. But all along, a conversation is going on in heaven and God has placed limits as to what can happen as to the sorrows of Job and as to the sufferings of Job. And in like manner with our Savior, so many sufferings that our Savior experienced, but God said, he is not going to have this suffering. This you are not able to do to him. And that is the consolation. This is the way that God lets us know so the world cannot understand, because God teaches us this way. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so God lets us trust him. He does not show us, but we must trust him. And he says, faith lays hold of this promise that not a bone of his body was broken. And this is what John realized when he saw the circumstances unfolding before his eyes. John is the one who remained at the cross. It appears that he took the mother of the Lord Jesus home, and then he came back and he remained at the cross. He said, I've seen this. I am an eyewitness. And he saw these two thieves in agony, but they were not dead, and they had to be removed because of the Sabbath day. And so the soldiers came along and crushed their legs. And then his Savior is there. And they come to the Savior to do the same thing. And they look at him and they say, he's dead. Well, we'll make sure of that. And he takes a spear and thrusts it in his side. And when he does that, John says, why, of course, the scripture has to be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And John saw that with all the sufferings of Christ. When the others thought that we had trusted that God would redeem Israel, with all that John did not know, this may have been a later reflection, but upon time thought, or at that time, these thoughts came to him. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And then he would think of the Old Testament, and he must have been familiar with it, or else he could not have had it come to mind. He thought of that Passover lamb, and then he thought of that righteous one spoken of in Psalm 34, and he says, that the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken. And so John, in the midst of the intense suffering of Christ, saw the hand of God. Can you see that? Or are you one when minor things happen to us? You say, God has abandoned me. Whereas John can see the intense sufferings of the Lord Jesus, and he can see, because not a bone was broken, that God is in control in this situation. There is great comfort for the saint of God when he thinks of this, because the Lord may let you have bitter experiences in your life, but if you can look and see some bitterness that is withheld and understand it is of God, then you say, yes, the Lord is fulfilling the promises set forth in the Scripture. John was able to see that. Now, speaking of the body of Christ, from these psalms that have our Savior upon the cross, let's look at that body. The Lord Jesus said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said, my flesh shall dwell in hope, in safety. And he says, not a bone of my body shall be broken. Do you see what God has done? He takes the inward parts of his son. He takes the outward parts of his son. And he inserts them in the Psalms and shows us exactly what man may do and what man may not do. And at the same time, in these Psalms, we have the Lord Jesus Christ entrusting both his material part and his immaterial part into the hands of God. Before the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And before he departed and went to be with the Father, he said, my flesh shall dwell in safety, in hope, in trust. This is all that was in the Savior's heart before he went to be with his Father. He knew that his flesh had to remain in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea 3 days, but he said, my flesh shall rest in hope. Now concerning his bones, this is something, too, that he had to commit into the hands of God. Understand this now. When the Lord Jesus, who knew the Old Testament prophecies, he knew every one that had to be fulfilled in his life, he knew that he had to make a new covenant, and it had to be made in his blood. And so he took his disciples, he said, now go and go to this man and make ready for the Passover. The Lord Jesus, before he rode into Jerusalem, knew that the prophecy in Zechariah about his riding into Jerusalem upon a donkey, he knew that that had to be fulfilled. He said, go and borrow this donkey. In like manner, I told you this, that the Savior, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And then they gave me gall for my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Notice, in all of these things, the Lord Jesus brought them to pass by his own actions, either by direct commands or by an utterance that would cause men to do something that had been prophesied in the Psalms. But tell me this, after the Lord Jesus gives up the ghost, who is going to take care of the other scriptures that had been spoken concerning him? You say, well, God has to take care of them. Why, of course. And so the Lord Jesus could trust his Father and his God in life, and he could trust him in death as well. And this is illustrated in Joseph's bones. Do you realize that Joseph in chapter 50 of Genesis said, I'm going to die, but I make you swear to me that when I die, you will take my bones out of Egypt. And so he had strictly sworn the children of Israel that they would take his bones out of Egypt. And so here are Joseph's bones in Egypt until what time Moses comes down. And then when Pharaoh is threatening them and death is over the land of Egypt, and they have their loins girded and their sandals upon their feet and their staff in their hand, when they are ready to go out, they remember the bones of Joseph. And for 40 years in the wilderness, they carried this corpse around with them. And in the book of Joshua, they finally get Joseph's bones into the promised land and bury them at the parcel of land that Jacob bought in Shechem from the sons of Hamor. Here is Joseph, and what he could not do himself in death, he arranged all of these things. He was the governor of Egypt in life, but there are times when you have to entrust things that are beyond your control into the hands of others. And he committed them into the hands of the children of Israel. And they fulfilled his desire and brought his bones out of Egypt into the promised land. And the Lord Jesus had said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But at the same time, into the Father's hands he had commended his bones as well. And try as the nation of Rome might, with all of their power, with the bloody suffering that they heaped upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they were not able to break one of his bones. And so the Lord Jesus could trust his Father in life. And then what he himself could not do, because he had committed his spirit into the hands of the Father, then he said, Father, you will have to do the rest of these things for me. And just as the children of Israel preserved and cared for the bones of Joseph, so the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ were cared for. And this is what is brought to our attention. Now, the Israelites would never know, other than the thought of reverence, as to why, if I'm eating this lamb, just perhaps at times you've taken a bone and broken it for the marrow, why in all of these Passover years am I never allowed to break a bone? They would say, why, reverence for this lamb. That's all they could know. But God knew all along why a bone was not to be broken, because symbolically and typically in that preserved bone was the hand of God in the life of Christ, even though he was experiencing the brutality of his own countrymen and of the Roman soldiers. And God had foretold in the Passover feast that not a bone of that lamb is to be broken. And then in the Psalms, he's spoken of not as the lamb, but he is spoken of as that righteous one. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, it says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And so when life is heaping one blow and one suffering after another upon me, I must reflect upon these scriptures. I must trust God that he is looking down as he did upon Job, as he did upon his son, and he knows every blow that is hit me up, that is placed upon my head, every blow that I receive in the mouth, every scourge upon my back, the spear piercing my side, the nails piercing my hands and my feet. He knows every one of those. He's watching them. He knows them. He has them numbered. He has them written in his book. God understands them all. And I must trust him, because it says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He knows our frame, that we are dust. He understands our frame. He made us, and therefore he knows what we can bear. And I think of this scripture concerning the church at Smyrna. Here are some that are in prison. It says, behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. He knows exactly how long it's going to last. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I shall give thee the crown of life. Faithful unto death. But Lord, I do not want to die. Preserve me from death. The Lord says, I know you're going to die, but I want to let you be faithful unto death. Because there was one in Philippians 2 who was obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And as the Father knew every suffering of his Son, so he knows every suffering of his saint, and he knows